Good morning, all. It's good to be here. And happy Father's Day to dads. I'm always amazed when I look at parents, some dads. I don't fall in that category. But some dads that are so slow to anger. So slow to anger. My message is on anger this morning. When I look around, we don't have anyone in the basement, so if I wander away from the mic, should be fine. When I look around, I'm thinking, this message I'm bringing this morning is meant for me, no one else. Everyone I look at seems so relaxed, slow to anger. Everyone just seems... So the message is for me, and if it applies to you, good too. We live in a conflict-driven culture. I'm on the road a lot. I see reckless drivers. I see speedsters. And I see road rage. We experience anger within our families. Families go through anger problems. With our friends at work. The sports we play. In meetings, and even with the brethren. Sometimes there's a little anger. So I want us to explore the subject anger this morning and just see what the Bible tells us about anger. You heard in the reading this morning, Jesus dealt with anger, his anger, at the money changers in the temple. And how we could make our lives easier dealing with the anger that we have, or the anger that we express to others. For me, I see two angers, the good and the bad anger, the selfish and the selfless anger. In Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, I'm not going to read it, because I have many other passages I want to read. But I just want to go through it. Jesus encounters a serious human need. And Jesus expresses that anger. He expresses his anger in response to the barricades, which blocks God's salvation. That's in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. When his divine sense of justice is offended, you will read in the Bible of Christ's or Jesus' anger. Selfish anger, and this is the anger that I sometimes have, because I tend to just blow off steam when I reach boiling point. Selfish anger usually causes a strong, disproportionate reaction to the situation. It will cause physical and emotional sensations. You get angry, you get excited. The words don't come out quietly any longer. They come out loud and harsh. Heart palpitations. You're just so excited because you're so angry. Shortness of breath. You can't even say what you want to say. That's selfish anger. The bad anger. Selfless anger tends to be slow, thoughtful, and controlled. I want us to take a big look at the picture of anger. Just a big look. In the Old Testament, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about anger. This morning I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 14, verses 17. Chapter 14, verses 17. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. A quick tempted man, a quick tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. Ecclesiastics. That's not correct pronounced, but I'm not going to struggle with that because then I could be here all day today. Just trying to get it correct. Chapter 7 and verse 9 reads as follows. Chapter 7 and verse 9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. So what are these two passages telling us? What are they saying to us? Psalms 37 and verse 8, for me, just sums up those two passages. Psalms 37 and verse 8 just sums it up for me. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, for it only leads to evil. It only leads to evil. If we continue looking at the bigger picture of anger, and we look at the New Testament, the writings in the New Testament clearly states that anger is not part of Christian values. The bad anger, it's not part of Christian values. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 reads as follows. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every other form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Jesus forgave you. Oh my gosh, it must be hot here today. Warmer than normal. I have lots of verses this morning that I want to read. James. I think maybe that would be the answer. James 1, verses 19 and 20, just paraphrasing, says, be slow to wrath, for wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Hasn't helped, eh? Sure. Sorry, just... Let me rephrase that again. Be slow to wrath, for the wrath of God of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We know that there's a place for a certain kind of anger. We heard this morning in the reading the anger expressed to the money changers in the temple. Jesus expresses that same anger towards the Pharisees. To the hypocritical Pharisees. So we see that God is a God of anger and is a God of love. And I'm not saying that. If you read Romans chapter 1, verses 18, that's exactly what you read there. God is a God of anger and God is a God of love. So if God is a God of anger, why does he get angry? What angers him? When I read the Bible, I read it as that God's anger is always a reaction to any evil. His anger is always a reaction to any evil.
Amen.
God's wrath is never misguided. With Christ, there is never any self-interest in anger. Never any self-interest in anger. His anger is only present when God's honor is at stake. When Christ was personally abused, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 from 22 to 23, we read as follows. First Peter chapter 2 verses 22 to 23. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to those who judged him justly. So we see when Christ was personally abused, he didn't say anything about it. He accepted the abuse. It reminds me a lot of, like I said to you earlier, people that when they have abuse hurled at them or the abuse directed at them and their reaction is silence, the person who deals with the anger feels like an idiot. Doesn't quite know how to deal with the silence. They feel belittled because there's no counter-argument coming back. Now, not all of us are made that way. I'm not made that way because I tend to want to defend myself. And the Bible tells me that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it, and that's not the way Jesus does it when he was personally abused. He accepted and stayed silent. See, we in our perfections, we with our imperfections, a lot of our anger is misguided. It's misdirected because of ignorance, misunderstandings, and assumptions that we make. In some of our professions, and I think of the law, you probably drilled and trained never to assume things. But for others that are in different professions, we tend to assume. We tend to make informed decisions. Decisions that may anger us, may cause us to be nasty to others, to cause hurt. We tend not to use anger correctly as humans. When God's name is dishonored, we keep quiet. And when we are personally offended, we become offended. We become aggrieved. We become vocal because it attacks us personally. Like I said to you earlier, I'm often so surprised when I see how people with silence deals with anger being hurled at them. The silence is such a powerful message. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26, Ephesians 4, 26, from 26 to 27. 26 to 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I read that passage. I'm trying to decipher what does he mean when he says, in your anger, do not sin. We all know the second part of it. Do not let your anger down. Go down with the sun. We use that with couples. Often. You know, when you go to bed, resolve the issues. But the first part, in your anger, do not sin. What Paul is saying here is that basically what he's saying is this: do not let your anger become wrath. Do not let your anger become outbursts of anger. The point is basically the way I deal with anger, which is blow off my steam, blow off my top, let you know where I stand, is not the way to do it. And another way that we often do it is we just suppress the anger. Maybe for long enough that it goes away, or for long enough that it blows up even bigger later. It's not the way to do it either. So it's wrong to be angry or to display wrath. It's not the way to do it. So how do we do it as humans? I mean, how does some people so calmly bear with anger? How do some people so remain silent when anger is just thrown at them? It doesn't seem to work on them. It doesn't seem to bother them. How is that done? Because when I look around me, in all my other walks of life, I see people have no control over it. I often look at traffic cops or policemen when they've pulled someone over, and the voice starts going louder, not the policeman's voice, the offender's voice starts going louder, and he starts getting agitated, and the policeman's just calm and collective. I know it's part of his training to diffuse the situation. But how's that done? And can we do it as humans? Is it possible? It is possible. And it requires a transformation. It requires work. You see, when we became Christians, or before we became Christians, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin. And now, after the transformation, we are free from sin. Oh, that doesn't mean that we don't sin. Or that we can't sin. But what it does mean, it means that we do not have to sin. We have a choice in the matter. We can make the decision that we do not want to sin. It means we are free. We are free to present ourselves to God, to serve as instruments of His righteousness. We have that choice. And after we've accepted Christ, we have the right to make that choice, that I do not want to sin. I do not want anger to be my sin. When we go through that transformation or that renewal process, we're looking for a mind change. Not just a yes, sir. We're looking for a mind change. And with that mind change comes that ability to put off anger and to put off wrath and put on things like love, kindness, and the peace of God. But it's that mind change that you're looking for. That transformation. So it's not only a physical transformation where you dipped into the waters, you got to come out with a renewed mind. That one of my sins is not going to be anger. If you read Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 to 15, Colossians 3 verses 12 to 15, you'll see that preventing wrath and anger from becoming part of our lives is an important part of our transformation. The transformation of the mind renewal should lead us to be living a different type of life. I always thought in my business, I always thought that if I went home each day and I was able to resolve and put the day's problems behind me, I'd go home stress-free, or at least with much less stress. So if I had a major issue, whether it's with someone at work, with a customer or a vendor, I'd resolve it that day and go home and not think about the issues. And that's worked partly because, yes, I went home with less stress, but the way I resolved my anger wasn't the Christian way. It was blow off steam, blow my top. And I thought that resolved the issue. And maybe it did resolve it for me, but not for the other person. Not for the other person. And as a Christian, when I'm dealing with non-Christians, it doesn't send home a good message. It doesn't send a message to them that that's the proper way to deal with anger. So I'm saying that one of the things that brings about a change in your attitude towards anger is that mind change. Changing how you want to deal with it, how you want to overcome it. But during my studies, I also found help from some other people. Seneca, who is a Roman philosopher, offered some self-control techniques that I'd like to just share with you. And the first one is avoid frustrating situations by noting where you got angry in the past. So it's a bit like, well, I did this today and it made me angry. maybe in the future it's something I should avoid. You know, if I keep speaking to John about his, about something that really upsets me, and he keeps doing it, then maybe I haven't quite tackled it correctly. Maybe I haven't tackled it in the spirit of love. And to support that, you can, that argument or that statement about avoiding frustrating situations of the past, if you look at your Bibles at Matthew 26 verse 41, there's a passage there that supports it. The second point that he brings home is respond calmly to an aggressor with empathy and mild, unprovocative comments, or with no response at all. There's it, silence works. Silence works. Respond calmly to an aggressor. I've seen that approach work. Policemen use it. But I've seen where the aggressor is speaking to someone who's a lot calmer, and how the situation just becomes diluted. And to support that, you can make a note in your Bibles, Proverbs 15 verse 1. Another point. Reconsider the circumstances and try to understand the motives and viewpoint of the other person. It's like the argument, every argument there's two sides to a story. And when I come into the argument thinking that I'm the only right one, and that my viewpoint is the only point that's important, then there's a problem with me. And so in a situation where there's anger, there is another side to the story and another viewpoint that may be valid that needs to be considered. Philippians chapter 2 verses 3 and 4 to support that. And then follow the great lesson of mankind. The great lesson of mankind, and that is, do as we would be done by. It's probably the same as love one another as you love yourself. Do as we would be done by. Matthew 7 verses 12. So all these little tips from Seneca to help you in trying conditions, trying positions, frustrating times, has also, all of it has support in the scriptures. The Bible is just full of guidance and advice if we spend the time to read it. So instead of trying to determine whether we should react to difficult situations by letting off steam or suppressing our anger, we would do well to remember the goal of a Christian, and that is that we need to change the inner person. We need to change ourselves inside. That mindset change that we need is the inside person that we need to change. And that the more we become reformed is the more likely we will react with love, peace, kindness, long-suffering and gentleness. Please note that when you deal with an aggressor and you don't deal with him in an aggressive manner, it's not the sign of weakness, but a sign of inner strength, a sign of maturity. following the example of Christ, there may be a place for anger, but I believe it's only in things pertaining to the honor and the will of God. That you speak up as a Christian for the will and honor of God. And in all other things, we would do well to remember the words of David in Psalms 37 and verse 8. I want to just read that. 37 and verse 8, Psalms. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. That's the passage I opened up with early in my message. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. So my message is, let us cease from anger and forsake wrath as we present ourselves to God, allowing our minds to be renewed. Do you wish to be a new creation? A new you? Then you must be in Christ. And that begins by being baptized in Christ.